We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Friday, this Good Friday, for those of you who are Catholic. It's a Good Friday. And of course, we welcome you to the show, coming to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station, South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in Las Vegas, and the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. Our local radio station, our anchor station here in town, is also Race Day Las Vegas, covering on the Sports Talk radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM. And then all of our, websites, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android, and Google, covered by the apps, the KSHP app that you can hear us through the radio station, the YouTube app that you can see us through the YouTube app as well, and of course anywhere you get your podcasting. Simply put, however, wherever and whenever, welcome to the Race Day Show. See, you can see behind me right now, there it is, 15 days to go until the Kentucky Derby. Derby Day, 15 days away. Oh my, oh my, oh my. And taking a look at some of the Derby news, as you know, we try to keep track of the horses that are intending to go in, the horses that are out, bada-bing, bada-bong, bada-bong. So here's the latest one. California Burrito. This is the horse that won the John Battaglia and also ran in the Jeff Ruby at Turfway Park. California Burrito is sitting at position number 25. Needs five horses to defect in the field from now until they draw for the post positions and they draw for the Kentucky Derby. 1 week from tomorrow is when they draw. California Burrito, his off of the Churchill Downs notes, says that he is still in Kentucky Derby consideration. Well, okay, but so Churchill Downs believes that he's still in the Kentucky Derby consideration, but he's got some work to do before those he has a chance to get in the starting gate. But you remember Rich Strike, so we're just keeping it all open right now for sure. Their intentions are they'll go in the Derby if they can get in it with California Burrito. As far as Baeza is concerned, as we said a couple of days ago and almost more than a week ago, where trainer John Sheriffs said that he's training Baeza as though he's going to get into the Kentucky Derby. Well, that's fine. He's been training in Southern California. But the horses, as John Lendo told us, the horses that are going to run in the Kentucky Derby must be on the grounds at Churchill Downs 1 week in advance, which means, of course, the day that they draw for the race. But Baeza, John Sharif said he is shipping him to Churchill Downs, having him poised and ready if there are any more defections going on in the Kentucky Derby. So Baeza will be sent to Churchill Downs and has been training, his training regimen has been training as though he's going to run on the first Saturday in May. Now, all I know is that if he doesn't get into the Kentucky Derby, they may want to opt for the Pat Day, the one-mile Pat Day with Baeza, since he's training up to performing on that day anyway. So we'll wait and see about that. We have some jockey assignments that are starting to take place. Manny Franco has now been employed to ride East Avenue in the Kentucky Derby. Javier Castellano has gained the mount on Owen Almighty. And Luan Machado will ride Final Gambit. Final Gambit, of course, that I believe was the winner of the Jeff Ruby. But in any case, you remember the Luan Machado rode East Avenue in Bluegrass Stakes and had that great performance that finished second in the Bluegrass. Machado was on East Avenue for that, but he opts to go to Final Gambit. So he's going to be riding Final Gambit, leaving Manny Franco open to ride East Avenue. So those are some of the jockey assignments of the horses that haven't already had jockey assignments. We'll get to more of those jock assignments on tomorrow's show. But those are the latest that's happening as far as the Kentucky Derby and jockey assignments for the horses that are in right now, the top 20 for the Kentucky Derby. So you got all of that going there, okay? As far as the Kentucky Oaks, we haven't talked much about the Kentucky Oaks, but the Kentucky Oaks favorite, the Brad Cox trainee Gold Cheer, who is expected to be in the favorite in the Kentucky Oaks, worked five furlongs at Churchill Downs yesterday in 59.45 seconds. 59.4, that's a moving along for Gold Cheer. Galloped out three-quarters of a mile in 113 flat. She is, of course, undefeated. And she goes in the Kentucky Oaks as the favorite in the Kentucky Oaks on Friday, the day before the Derby, which means 2 weeks from today will be the Kentucky Oaks Day. Okay, folks? So just keeping you a little bit up to date on what's going on with the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby. As we get it, you get it for sure. Other notes that I wanted to make mention of, that decoupling bill that is going through the state of Florida, where they wanted to decouple the revenues from the casino betting there in Florida and the racetracks, and the racing that's headed up by, of course, the folks who own Gulfstream Park. And they've been going through the committees, et cetera, trying to get this thing to the Senate in Florida to vote on it. Well, here's the latest. Yesterday, Governor Ron DeSantis showed up at one of the events at the breeding farms in Florida. And he said, quote, he is not a fan of the decoupling in the bill that's moving forward, and his public support is for defeating the decoupling bill in Florida. He doesn't want it decoupled. So they've got the governor behind them in Florida for that one. And we will wait and see about that. That bill continues to move forward, although there have been a few amendments to the bill that kind of helped out for horsemen. Not enough. And Governor DeSantis says that he is not a fan of decoupling and doesn't want it in his state. That's good news for horse racing. As far as Northern California, you know that the Northern California fairs have been trying to get together, some of them, to have a Northern California fair meeting up there. Now, the Humboldt County Fair and the Alameda County Fair got together and made a presentation to the California Horse Racing Board yesterday to conduct racing, thoroughbred racing at their fairs, at the Alameda County Fair and the Humboldt County Fair. But after the meeting was concluded, the California Horse Racing Board voted against it and rejected that proposal. So right now it doesn't look like there's going to be any racing in the Northern California fairs. And we'll get maybe the latest on the reaction on that from John Lindo a little bit later on. As far as the races yesterday concerned at Keeneland Racecourse, well, first race winner paid $6.54. Rich Eng's selection in the race finished second, but the winner paid $6.54. Second race winner paid $9.40. The third race winner paid $4.96. Fourth race winner paid $4.38. You get the gist of what was going on early. However, when they got to the fifth race, the payoff race in the early pick five and early pick four, that fifth race winner paid $54.26. John Velasquez rolling up the rail to get the win in the turf race, 5.5 furlong turf race there for trainer Vicky Oliver. $54.26. That caused an early pick five of $2,834.05. Then the sixth race, Kasika won that for Iret Ortiz Jr.'s first win of the day for Brendan Walsh, paying $4.84. Came back in the seventh race for a $6.02 winner, Todd Pletcher and Iret getting together for that, so Iret won two in a row. The eighth race winner, $4.96 for Steve Asmussen, and the ninth race winner, $4.24 for Rusty Arnold. So you can see that outside of that $54 horse, the next highest price was $9.40, and everything else was in the $6 and $4 range yesterday at Keeneland. So seven out of the nine races yesterday at Keeneland were won by the odds-on favorites there. Now, the late pick four, exempt of that $54 horse, $484, $602, $496, and $424, the prices. That pick four paid $36.70. With the $54 winner beginning the late pick five, added to those horses I just gave you that paid off $36.70 in the pick four, the $54 and change horse in the pick five created a pick five payoff of $2,113.35, a difference of $2,076 and change between the pick four and the late pick five yesterday at Keeneland by virtue of that $54 winner. And as a matter of fact, that $54.26 winner, if you combined the Wynn Mutuals of all the other races yesterday at Churchill Downs, that only came to $45.34. So the $54.26 winner paid off more than the combination of all the other winners yesterday at Keeneland. Pick six, by the way, paid $4,427.98. Aqueduct. A lot of doubles yesterday at Aqueduct. Dylan Davis won his first race of the day at 5:20 in the opener for trainer Wayne Potts. In the second race, Manny Franco got his first win of the day, paying $2.50 there, giving Chad Brown his first winner of the day. Kendrick Carmouche won the third race for his first winner of the day, paying $3.80. Dylan Davis came back with his second winner of the day in the fourth race, paying $29.60, giving trainer Wayne Potts his second winner of the day. Then you had the fifth race winner paying $13.20, giving trainer Wayne Potts his third win of the day. So trainer Wayne Potts wins three out of the first five races at Aqueduct yesterday. Kendrick Carmouche got his second win in the sixth race for Linda Rice, paying $4.40. Dylan Davis won the seventh race to get his third win of the day at $5.10 and gave Chad Brown his second win of the day. And in the eighth and final race, Manny Franco got his second win of the day for Brad Cox, paying $2.80. A lot of favorites happened yesterday as well as Aqueduct. And as far as Gulfstream Park was concerned, Miguel Vasquez won a couple of races. He won the third race at $5.40 for trainer Gary Jackson. And then Vasquez and Jackson came back again together to win their second races of the day at Gulfstream in the seventh race, paying $7.20. And by the way, Vicky Oliver, that had that big winner at Keeneland yesterday, also had a winner in the eighth race at Gulfstream Park. That horse only paid $8.60, however. That's kind of what happened yesterday. On the show today, we've got, of course, our handicappers standing by, Jonathan Hardoon, Rich Eng, and John Lendo. Jerry J is still on his little holiday vacation, but he sent his feature play pick for the day that I'll give you as well. He's got a pick at both Santa Anita and at Aqueduct. And don't forget, today is opening day at Santa Anita for the Hollywood meet. So we got Santa Anita back on the docket as well for the menu. Your racing menu comes up next along with the handicappers. So without any further ado, we'll take our first break on this Good Friday. Reminding you to join us on the chat room. The chat room, of course, at the Race Day Las Vegas position on YouTube. Just get to the Race Day Las Vegas page, hit Race Day Las Vegas. You'll see the chat box on the right-hand side. Subscribe. Subscription is free. And then you'll be off and chatting. And it's very busy today on the chat box. And we have a little surprise coming up for that chat box a little bit later on. So don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on the Race Day Las Vegas show for this Good Friday. I want to remind everybody about a few things happening. The Kentucky Derby preview show will be on Wednesday, the 30th of April. It'll feature all our handicappers and guest handicappers as well. That starts at 3 p.m. Pacific time. It's only seen on the YouTube streaming channel. It's not going to be on any of the other simulcasting that we have on our regular shows. Only the YouTube streaming channel on YouTube at 3 o'clock on Wednesday, April 30th. And you want to watch that show because we're going to have something special for our chatters that chat on the chat box on that special show. Mark it down, Wednesday, April 30th, 3 p.m. right here at the YouTube streaming network, but only on the YouTube streaming network. Keep that in mind. And that'll start off a big weekend of all the promotions we have here at the South Point. Of course, the Kentucky Derby seminar itself, featuring John Lendo and Jonathan Hardoon, will be on Friday. Kentucky Oaks Day, following the races concluding in Southern California, we'll take the stage at the Grandview Lounge, and we'll go over the Kentucky Derby and some other key races on Derby Day. Big day of racing at on Kentucky Derby Day, in addition to the Kentucky Derby, eight more stakes races on that card. We'll see if we can find a few more winners on those as well on the seminar. That's Friday night, 6 p.m. in the Grandview Lounge. And that, of course, is the lounge where they usually have entertainment. So it's set up real nice with the tables and chairs and all that. You can also get a drink on while you're watching us do the seminar. And it's free. And then, of course, the Kentucky Derby party in the exhibit hall the next day, celebrating the Kentucky Derby and all that surrounds it with the hat contest that has cash prizes to it, a bank of betting windows, betting kiosks, food and beverage discounts, big banquet tables. So bring your friends and enjoy the Kentucky Derby with us. I'll be there along with John Lindo and Jonathan Ardoon. Love to say hi to you. Come on out, find our table and say hi on Kentucky Derby Day. Those doors open at 9 a.m. on Saturday, May 3rd, the Kentucky Derby Day, all of which I just said to you is free, including parking your car in the parking lot. It's all free right here at the South Point. All right, time to get started with the racing menu for today. As we always say, the racing menu, first post times on the racing menu each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone, because we're in the Pacific time zone here in Las Vegas, and these will be the first post times that roll out in our race books today. If you're listening on from in another time zone, all the other time zones we have around the world, simply put, just adjust it from the time zone you're in to the Pacific time zone, and then you won't miss anything. Like, of course, I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, so that's for today. That is, of course, I just knocked off something, so we got to get started. Okay, here we go. The post times will be Pacific, simply put, okay? So let's get started. If I can get to the page where the carryovers are at, we will get started. Here we go. All right, we begin with Laurel Park. Laurel Park has 10 races. Their first post time is at 9:10 at Laurel Park. And the Laurel Park has a pick six jackpot carryover of $5,342. $5,342 into the pick six jackpot at Laurel. 10 races, first post time is at 9:10 today. Tampa Bay Downs, they've got a pick six jackpot carryover of $1,959. Their first post end at Tampa Bay for nine races is set at 9:35. 9:35 at Tampa Bay today. Following that comes Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream Park, their pick six jackpot carryover. Remember, they had a mandatory payoff on Sunday, so their pick six jackpot carryover starts to build again right now. Today it's at $7,536. First post time at Gulfstream Park for nine races set at 9:50. 9:50 at Gulfstream Park today. Keeneland Racecourse has their 10 race program starting at 10 a.m. Keeneland has a first post time at 10 a.m. A good stakes race today. The $350,000 Grade 3 Double Dog Dare Stakes at a mile and 1/16 for fillies and mares 4-year-olds and up. It has a field of seven in it, and Candide is the 8-5 favorite there with Irad Ortiz Jr. Now that, the Double Dog Dare Stakes, ninth race on the card at Keeneland, 10 races and a first post time of 10 a.m. 10 a.m. first post at Keeneland. Next comes Aqueduct, the Big A in New York. Aqueduct has eight races, and the first post time at Aqueduct today is set at 10:10. 10:10 at Aqueduct. No late scratches to speak of yet. They haven't posted them, but eight races today at the Big A, and a first post time of 10:10 at Aqueduct. Oaklawn Park comes up next. Oaklawn Park has 10 races today. Their first post time at Oaklawn Park for 10 races set at 10:30. 10:30 at Oaklawn Park. And then we go to Santa Anita. Opening day for the Hollywood meet. The Hollywood meet at Santa Anita. Nine races today. First post time at Santa Anita set at 1 o'clock as racing returns to Southern California. And then we have Evangeline Downs. Evangeline Downs has nine races. Their first post time is at 3:30. 3:30 at Evangeline. And then we wrap it up with Charlestown. Charlestown races with nine races today. And by the way, the eighth race is the stakes race today at Charlestown. So our first post time at Charlestown is at 4 p.m. That stakes race at 7 furlongs for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. Eighth race on the card again. First post for nine races, Charlestown, set at 4 p.m. And that is your racing menu for today. All right. Now we can get back to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan Ardoon, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my man. How are you?
Good. Obviously a good sign that the governor of Florida showed up at the Ocala sales yesterday, and he was spotted with Mike Rapoli. So that could be good news. Maybe he could veto that decoupling bill. I don't know if he has the power to, but he is the governor, so who knows?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, during normal voting and the way that most of the political structure, the government structure is set up, that governors can veto a bill, and then it's got to go back and get a majority, I guess, to override it. So we'll wait and see what happens there. I know they keep kind of negotiating back and forth as it goes from committees on out to actually getting it on the floor and a vote, that they have tweaked it a little. But I guess it hasn't been tweaked enough. And when you get a governor, especially the one that is popular as DeSantis is in Florida, they got some work to do. So the horsemen have to be really happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's certainly good news when a governor gets on your side and sticks his two cents in. So that's a very positive report, I think.
Yes, and, that, of course, when you're talking about the decoupling for that in Florida, it's not only affecting the Florida racing industry, which is a big industry amongst the United States, of course, but it also sets a precedent for things that can happen in other racing jurisdictions that have the same type of setup as far as money coming from slot machines, etc. It sets a precedent for those governments as well. So, putting a hole in the plug in this bill initially is a big deal.
Yeah, and listen, the horsemen, most of the people are totally against this. So, they got the bill through, even though everyone that's involved in horse racing, for the most part, with the exception of the Stronach group, I guess, is totally against this. The trainers are against it, the owners are against it, and certainly the players are against it.
Well, we'll see what happens there. As far as looking ahead to racing for us players on the consumer side of things, the Kentucky Derby still has a little bit of fluctuation going on with horses coming in and out. And like you said, this is going to be this way until we get to the day that they draw the races, 1 week from tomorrow. And then, of course, there's always a late scratch that could put an also eligible in there, because they did have, I believe last year, they had two also eligibles after they drew. And of course, we remember the year that Rich Strike got in there. But it's going
to
be
it's hard to imagine, though, that number 25 is going to get in this late. I mean, that's really wishful thinking, I guess, on their part. And a lot has to go wrong for that horse to get in, Ralph.
The interesting thing right now is Baeza, because Baeza is being trained by John Sheriff as if he's going to make the Derby. If he doesn't, wouldn't you think that maybe the Pat Day would be a good option since he's on the grounds anyhow?
Absolutely. I would assume that's definitely what they're going to do. I think you're right on with that. I think you're thinking like a trainer and like an owner. If you had a horse, eligible for the Derby and you couldn't get in, obviously the Pat Day Mile would be second choice. And you're right. He's going to Kentucky. He's going to Churchill Downs. He's training there. It's the same day, basically. So, what's the difference? If he can't run in the Derby, you should run in the Pat Day Mile.
Because, he's sitting on ready. He's sitting on ready to go, and he's on the grounds.
Not only that, a horse like Owen Almighty, who probably would have been the favorite in the Pat Day Mile, is opting for the Derby. So that's only good news for anyone else that wants to enter in the Pat Day Mile.
And, by the way, Baeza, the one-turn mile of Pat Day would fit him right between the eyes, because he is a horse that is very close to being on or close to the lead. He has a lot of good early tactics. Yeah.
Yeah, forwardly placed, and I agree, Ralph.
Well, we're going to go over all of that during the seminar when we have the seminar. As a matter of fact, we'll probably be going over some of those races when we have the Kentucky Derby special on Wednesday, April 30th, and, of course, during the seminar as well, because there's a lot of great racing along with the Kentucky Derby on Derby Day, that's for sure.
Absolutely, and it's amazing. It's only 2 weeks away, Ralph. It just seems like, it just jumped upon us so quick, and here it is.
Well, guys like you and, John and all the other handicappers, you guys are going to cut a great break, because you're going to have the past performances and the Derby draw and everything by the Tuesday before the Kentucky Derby. So you got plenty of time to do your handicapping, that's for sure.
Well, it's actually going to be drawn a week from tomorrow on Saturday, so you'll get
post-positions,
right, and you'll be able to get a quick jump on that, and can't hurt. More time you have, the better it is.
As a matter of fact, Rich Yang did mention to us that they're going to draw the entire Kentucky Derby Day card on Saturday, so by the time the Daily Racing Form gets it, puts it in print, and puts it on where you usually get your racing form, that'll be on Tuesday. But you guys, you'll be going to get it earlier, I'm sure, through the website. So we'll expect some good stuff from you guys.
Are they going to draw the Elks also on Saturday? Do you know?
That I do not know. I'll ask Richie when he comes on right after you. But I would think that maybe they might. Sure.
It would make sense to do both days, right?
Yeah, it would. It certainly would. That's for sure.
But that's the problem. It makes sense. So.
But talking about the Kentucky Oaks now, Brad Cox is tightening the screws on his undefeated Good Cheer, who obviously is going to be the favorite in the race. Went 59-4. That's a nice move, isn't it?
It certainly is. And when he cranks them up like that, watch out, because they're going to run good.
Now, I was talking about a few of the jockey assignments that have been made over the last 24 hours or so as far as the horses in the Derby. But I got to tell you, of the 20 horses now that are in the Kentucky Derby, there have been 19 jockey assignments. There's only one horse left open, and that is Matticat Road. Okay?
And guess what? There's one superstar sitting on the sidelines.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't think he's going for Matticat Road. He may be waiting to see if Baez of Baez or whatever, however you pronounce his name, Baez gets in, because he may have his eye on that horse. But who knows? You could be sure he will be in the starting gate come Derby Day.
And we're talking about
Flavian Pratt.
Flavian Pratt. That is correct. We're talking about Flavian Pratt. Now, his main clients, Chad Brown and Brad Cox, I would imagine that at the beginning of the year, he thought that for sure he'd be riding on something that would be close to being a favorite for one of those two guys. But as it shook out, he's still sitting on the sidelines now after all the other jockey assignments. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. And like I said, hey, it's better to ride Matticat Road and get in the starting gate and then not ride it. And after all, you are riding for Bob Baffert. So we got to wait and see about that. I got to ask John Lindo if he has any inside track on what's going on with that a little bit later on in the show. Hey,
by the way, Ralph, he opted off of the maiden that he rode the last two times for Asmussen.
Publisher, yeah.
So obviously, and that horse ran well in both of those races.
Yep.
He finished second and third, I believe. So if he was willing to take off of that horse, obviously there's things going on behind the scenes that we are not privy to.
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes when you get to a big race like the Kentucky Derby, the trainers need and the owners want to make a decision on who's going to ride this horse earlier than maybe most other stakes races during the year.
They want a commitment.
They want a commitment. And maybe he just, although maybe he likes the horse, and obviously he does, he rode him the last two times, so he knows what was under him. Maybe he was just waiting and rolling the dice and couldn't make the commitment when they wanted to. And not only that, but not making that commitment, you still had Ired Ortiz Jr. that was floating out there opening. So you sit there and say, hey, listen, I can get Ired right now. You're not committing to me. I got to go that way. Maybe that was the decision being made.
And maybe with the fact that Tyler Gaffalione and Louis Saez were hurt at the time, maybe who knew, maybe he was wondering if they'd be okay. I mean, Louis Saez is obviously back riding, but he's going to ride a horse for Brad Cox in the race, mm-hmm. Street, whatever his name is, one of the favorites, actually. Mm-hmm. So maybe he was not hoping that Saez wouldn't be back in time, but maybe he was, banking on something like that. Who knows, Ralph? But believe me, he's not going to sit home and watching TV on Derby Day.
Well, let's hope not, but we'll wait and see about that. And certainly we'll keep an eye on that one, that's for sure. But the horse I think that you're talking about that Luis Saez is riding is Tappet Street.
Right, for Tappet Brad Street. Cox, who will be one of the choices in the race.
Well, he should be. He won the Florida Derby. So
in only career start number three, so yeah. He's got quite a future ahead of him.
All right, well, we're still contemplating what's going on with the Kentucky Derby, but we got opening day at Santa Anita today, and we got to get started with some winners here, buddy. What are we doing?
All right, let's go to Aqueduct, look at race number 7, and I like to, by the way, slim pickings, to be honest with you, at Aqueduct. Short fields,
yeah.
Not much value on the card. But I like the number 1 horse in the 7th race today. Everyone loves Linda. This is a 6-year-old mare who's been claimed in her last 3 starts. Now she's in the Richard Dutrow barn. Eric Kinsella board to ride. She's listed at 3-1 on the morning line. I like number 1, Everyone Loves Linda, to win today's 7th race at Aqueduct.
I do not have a form in front of me. Is Linda Rice the trainer?
She's the previous trainer. She's had this list two or three times already. Okay. Today she's good drill. She just keeps reclaiming the horse.
Well, you wonder why. I mean, then look at the name. Everybody loves Linda. So anyhow, in the seventh race without Linda Rice training it, the one everyone loves Linda is your play, the one in the seventh at Aqueduct. And yes, I know I've been noticing Aqueduct has been pretty anemic feels for the last week or so.
Yeah, it's terrible. But hopefully, again, with Gulfstream, their championship meet now ended, horses are starting to ship back. So, and they start turf racing, I think, a week from Sunday. So that's good news as well.
All right. Keelan,
let's look at race number 7. And we were talking the other day about trainers that point for meets. Trainer John Ortiz, who's also stabled at Oaklawn Park, is 7 for 123 at Oaklawn Park. However, at Keelan, he's 3 for 9, and he sends out the number 7 horse in here, Order Restored. All his horses are running out of their skin here. This horse is listed at 6-1 on the morning line. Drew a line through his last race on a sloppy track at Oaklawn, didn't run well. Now he's at Keelan. I like number 7. By the way, Jose Ortiz also takes the mount. I like number 7, Order Restored, to win today's 7th race out at Keelan.
All right, 7th race at Keelan, number 7, easy to remember, Order Restored. And for John Ortiz, the trainer, Jose Ortiz.
No relation.
Jose Ortiz will ride. No relation.
Correct.
But still, 7th race, number 7. All right, wrap it up in Southern California, buddy.
All right, let's get everybody off to a good start in the first race today, which is 1 1/8 on the turf. And I like the number 6 horse in here, Travail. This is a 4-year-old colt from the Paula Capestro barn. I like the rider switch today to Kyle Frey. This horse has raced two and three starts back on the turf. Either one of those races good enough to win here. Stretches out to 1 1/8, 8-1 on the morning line. Number 6, Travail, upsets and wins today's opener out at Santa Anita.
All right, number 6, Travail, the 6 horse in the first race. First race post time, 1 o'clock Pacific time, folks. In the opener at the Hollywood meet, Cardoon's going to put you on a winner, the 6, Travail. And, of course, you got full sheets both at Santa Anita, Keeneland, and Aqueduct, and a full sheet at Oaklawn as well.
Correct. We dropped Gulfstream for the time being. We'll do Gulfstream on dark days at these other tracks.
All right, and they can get them where?
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
You got it, my man. And we're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, Rich Eng is standing by. Don't go away.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that is going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our 7 specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, time to go out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Interesting day of racing both at Keeneland and really at Aqueduct, too. There were a lot of favorites there. Just one big long shot. Keeneland really made the picks happening as far as the pick fives and pick fours. But otherwise, kind of a chalky day at both places. Jonathan Ardoon did ask me a question that I wasn't quite sure about. Maybe you would know since you're with the racing form there. Will they be drawing the Kentucky Oaks Day of Racing a week out as well as the Kentucky Derby Day of Racing?
Well, last year, if I remember correctly, Ralph, they drew the Oaks on Friday and they drew the Derby on Saturday in the separate they had the draws like in that brand new paddock that they have at Churchill Downs. I don't know exactly when they draw the rest of the card, the undercard, but they're going to be available soon enough. And, you know, I think you'd mentioned something, you and Jonathan, about the fact that even though the hard copy of the Kentucky Derby Advance won't be available till Tuesday morning, if horse players out there do have an online account at drf.com, you can actually get the online past performances a lot faster because obviously you don't have to wait for the print. Mm-hmm. You can just download them when everything's all typeset up on the internet. So if you have a DRF.com account, you can actually get the PPs faster.
And I want to remind everybody, too, that a lot of handicappers, a lot of us old handicappers like to mark it with our pen, you know, maybe different colored pens or our pens do a lot of notations on it. Well, you can do that by getting the one earlier on the internet and just print out those things, and then you can write on it as well. So it'll work out just fine. But last year, as you say, they drew for the Kentucky Oaks the day before the Kentucky Derby. So if the Derby is drawn 1 week from the Derby on Saturday, we're assuming that the Kentucky Oaks will be drawn 1 week from that Friday of the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, that's what they did last year. So if they do the same thing, that'll be the timeline. And all I know is, Ralph, it's plenty of time for us to handicap.
Yeah.
There's going to be no shortage of additional time to handicap.
Yes, and we got a lot of races to do, though. But, yes, that'll be a labor of love, so to speak. In any case, you have two sheets today available at the RaceDayLasVegas.com website. You got a full sheet for Keeneland, a full sheet for Santa Anita. So we almost got the money yesterday at Keeneland. We finished second in the opener. The horse had the lead all the way until the final couple of jumps, and then he got nailed by the horse, the favorite, that paid $6 and change. So let's get going today. Where are we going first, Keeneland?
Yeah, the last 50 yards of that race was 50 yards too long for that horse. Mm-hmm. But let's go to Keeneland's 10th, Ralph. It's a mile and 16th on the grass. A heavy favorite in this allowance race is the two, Mystifying Shug McGahee and Jose Ortiz. But I'm going to try to beat them with the number 10 horse, Ali Mara, 9-2 in the morning line. You get Flavion Pratt and Chad Brown at 9-2. To me, that's tremendous value. This horse had a season debut at Tampa Bay Downs. Was looked like a short horse to me. And now Brown puts blinkers on. This looks like a go time, Ralph, at 9-2. The 10, Ali Mara in race 10.
All right, 10th race, number 10. Easy to remember there, Keeneland. 10th and final race of the 10, Ali Mara. Flavion Pratt aboard, number 10 in the 10th race at Keeneland. Hey, Richie, it's opening day at Santa Anita, buddy.
Yeah, welcome back to Arcadia, California. I'm going to set up a Scirocco play in the opener, Ralph. Race one, we'll have a Scirocco play. It's a mile and an eighth on the turf. Jonathan, like the six-horse Travail. I like the 7 horse, a row in August, 2-1 in the morning line, kind of chalky, but I think this horse is going to be closing fast under Umberto Rispoli. If they time it right, it'll be 6-7 or 7-6. How about that, Ralph?
Okay, so you like in the first race, again, 1 o'clock post time, 1 o'clock first post to San Anita on the opener at the Hollywood Park meet, the Hollywood meet, as they say. But we know it's all Hollywood Park old racing dates. But in the Hollywood Park meet opening day on the Hollywood meet, 1 o'clock post time. We got a Scirocco play right off the bat in the first race. You like the 7. Jonathan Ardoon came with the 6, so it's going to be a 6-7, 7-6 exacta box in the opener at 1 o'clock. And of course, again, you have two full sheets, one at Santa Anita and one at Keeneland. You get those handicapping sheets at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. Thanks a lot, Rich. We'll talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right, you got it. I'll be back right after this final break with Jerry Jackowitz picks for you, since he won't be with us on the show today, and then we'll wrap it up with John Lundo, so don't go away.
If you're celebrating a special occasion or just love fine dining, you're in the right place.
come experience the crown jewel of South Point restaurants, Michael's Gourmet Room.
Welcome.
With over 600 different types of wines and magnificent dishes prepared tableside, you'll revel in the rich classic Vegas decor and the best black tie service in the world. This intimate gourmet room has earned accolades galore. Come to Michael's Gourmet Room for an unforgettable dining experience. Another famous restaurant is the Silverado Steakhouse, where you'll find the charm and service that discerning patrons require. From top quality steaks and chops to fresh seafood and desserts, you'll love the award-winning wine list and menu at Silverado Steakhouse. Steak lovers have even more options with primarily prime rib. Catering to hearty appetites, the menu features a variety of flavorful prime rib cuts, dry aged to ensure tenderness, and then seasoned and slowly roasted. Although prime rib is our specialty, it's not the only thing on the menu. There's something for everyone.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, time to give you Jerry J's plays. Let's go to Aqueduct first, and at Aqueduct, Jerry J's play for the Race Day listeners today comes in the sixth race. In the sixth race, he likes number one, Concrete Phase. Number one, Concrete Phase in the sixth race is his play. The one, Concrete Phase. The link-ups will include, and by the way, number one, A, is scratched in the race, so it's just the one, Concrete Phase. And the link-ups are numbers four and five. So in the sixth race, the one's the key. Four and five are the link-ups there. You can scratch the 1A and the 1A in that race, the other half of the key entry, and the 6 as well. So it's 1 over 4, 5 at Aqueduct in the sixth race. And then we'll go to the Santa Anita today, the Jerry J's Power Page of Santa Anita. In the second race, Jerry J likes the 6, Blue Fashion. Number 6, Blue Fashion, is his feature play. 6-1 on the morning line with Hector Barrios aboard. The 6, his link-ups are 2, 3, and 5, and reverse. The 6 over 2, 3, 5 in the second at Santa Anita. And remember, Jerry J's has his power pages, full power pages for today at Aqueduct and Santa Anita at jerryjspowerpage.com. All right, let's go to John Lendo standing by. John Lendo in Southern California. Hey, they're back racing in Southern California, John.
Yeah, it's been a while. I tell you what, it feels like we've been gone a few weeks, but it was just really one weekend we lost, but glad to be back racing.
John, I guess the California Horse Racing Board put the kibosh on any chances of getting Northern California Fair racing started this year. They rejected the proposal by the Alameda County Fair and the Humboldt County Fair for any racing in Northern California. Any feedback?
Well, they turned down the Pleasanton Fair. They did not, the way the vote went, there really wasn't a decision made on whether they're going to run at Ferndale, but it doesn't look good this late trying to get to the Ferndale meet, which would be run during the Del Mar meeting. And they needed a certain number of votes. A couple of the commissioners were not there, so they didn't have the right number of votes to officially call that off. So we'll see where that goes. But it looks pretty doubtful there'll be any racing in Northern California this summer.
Would you then say that the term might be that the Northern California fair that is still kind of alive is on life support?
That's optimistic, I think, Ralph.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I just get my feedback, and what I got out of my research was they just rejected both of them. But if one is still minorly alive, we'll keep our hopes going for that. Today at Santa Anita, I guess the weather is fine and we're getting ready to go, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, high 70s, low 80s. It'll be nice and fast and firm, obviously. And we'll see if the track has changed at all. They've had a couple weeks off, and I honestly have no idea how the main track's going to play today. We'll just assume it's going to be fair and adjust from there.
Well, nine races today at Santa Anita, and the first race starts right off the bat on the turf course. So I'm assuming that the turf course, after quite a long period of time without being used as far as racing meets are concerned, that it should be in good shape.
Yeah, the two-week break will help the turf course more than anything else. It was starting to get a little bit beat up because they use it so much, and we didn't have a ton of rain this winter, so they didn't get any really prolonged breaks. But we'll see, and they're going to use it a lot this weekend. They're going to be busy on it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And just a note, Ralph, on Easter Sunday, with so many other tracks not running, Santa Anita will go to a noon post time for Easter Sunday, 1 o'clock Friday and Saturday.
Yes, on Easter Sunday, this coming Sunday, there will only be three racetracks on the racing menu. Just three racetracks on the racing menu. Keeneland won't be running on Sunday. They take Easter Sunday off. A lot of other racetracks do the same. So we'll have three tracks. And again, like you said, the early post at 12 noon at Santa Anita Pacific time on Sunday. John, we've got Flavie and Pratt just kind of dangling out there, and there's only one horse left that we know of the 20 that are eligible for the Kentucky Derby right now that is without a rider, and that's Bob Baffert's Madigat Road.
Well, per the notes from Dave Grenning at Daily Racing Form, who does a terrific job, he spoke to agent Brad Pegram, the agent for Flavie and Pratt, and he says Flavie will ride by Asa if he gets in the race. At entry time, if the other horse is still, maybe that's why Bob Baffert is keeping his horse open. If that horse does not get in, then maybe it's the fallback position for Pratt, but that's not official.
Well, I got to tell you right now, Pratt would have has a lot of influence if that happens, because I'm sure Bob Baffert would like to get a rider from Madigat Road. But most of the riders that he uses, of course, Juan Hernandez doesn't have a mount in the Kentucky Derby yet, right?
No, he does not. So, again, it's not going to be hard to get a rider for the Kentucky Derby if you need one. So,
no, either
one. Yeah, he can wait as long as he needs to.
Yeah, and the thing about it, though, is that Hernandez does ride almost first call exclusively for Baffert. So we'll wait and see about that, how that weighs itself politically between that and getting a chance to have Flavie and Pratt ride your horse. And if Baeza gets in, well, then there's no controversy whatsoever, that's for sure. But, there'll be riders available for especially a Baffert horse in the Derby, no matter what. Okay, today at Santa Anita, I would imagine, conditions are fast and firm. So what are we looking at for a pick on the opening day?
Well, we'll do one at both Keeneland and Santa Anita today, Ralph. I did Linda reports for both. So let's go to Keeneland first. I sent these in last night, race number 6, and there are three late scratches in here, which kind of decimates the race.
Yeah. But
there should still be a fair price at number 1 up the creek in here, who was 15-1 on the morning line. This is a horse that got in a prep at Oaklawn Park, likes Keeneland. It has some tactical speed, and the key here is the distance. I think the 6.5 is going to help this horse more than the others. So I'm going to guess maybe 4-1 as opposed to the 15-1 morning line, number 1, up the creek, race number 6 at Keeneland.
And the 6th race at Keeneland at 6.5 furlongs had an original field of 8, but scratched the 4 I'm Cookie Lover, the 6 Modern Sound, and the 8 Laurie's Secret. 4, 6, and 8 are out of that race. The one horse, which was 15-1 on the morning line, obviously will be cut down, but a winner is a winner for us, that's for sure. And the 1 up the creek puts the rest up the creek, hopefully, in that 6th race. The 1 in the 6th at Keeneland. Double Dog Dare, a grade 3 on this Friday. Looks like a pretty decent competitive race as well. And we'll go to Santa Anita for your pick there.
I'm in the second race, and I'm on the same horse as Jerry J. It's a 6-horse field, and the 5 fillies drawn to the inside all have speed. It really sets the table for number 6, Blue Fashion, who can just sit outside, let the speed go. We'll find out if closers have a fair shot at Santa Anita, because the race sets up right. 6-1 is a fair price. Number 6, Blue Fashion. Race number 2, Santa Anita.
Well, we got the Good Housekeeping Handicapper's seal of approval in the second race today at Santa Anita. Both Jerry J. and John Lindo land on the same horse. That's number 6, Blue Fashion. Number 6, Blue Fashion in the second race. And with Jonathan and Richie coming up with the separate horses in the first at Santa Anita, you two guys landing on a single horse in the second, we can go 2-1. Out of the first 5 races at Santa Anita, and then we can shop around for multiple picks in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and maybe hit that first pick 5 of the meet there.
Well, the Daily Double might pay all right, too.
That's right. You got it, my man. We got a lot of good ways of going. 1 o'clock first post today at Santa Anita. All right, we're going to wrap up the show reminding you that the Linda Report is exclusively distributed here in Las Vegas, right here at the South Point, free of charge. John, last word, buddy.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Cilotto at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.